Greetings again in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to thank you just again for joining us for this third segment of this very, very exciting and powerful series as we are working through the book of Haggai. It has been phenomenal. It has been life-changing. And God has really been ministering to me personally on this particular subject. And I find it very interesting that, you know, in a time and a season such as this, that God would open up this text unto me and so that I can minister it to the church holistically and to our church individually. And we thank God for His mercy and for His grace and for everything that He has done. Throughout the past 2 to 3 weeks, God has done amazing things. We have seen people, God stirring up the hearts of people, people coming back into working, people having a desire to be active in the work of the Lord. And we find that God is busy doing a great work in the kingdom. And one can see it globally. There's just a stir amongst many, many, many saints. Many saints are going out having revivals, are going out having conferences and crusades and hitting the streets. There's just a desire, and it looks, there's an eagerness in the house of God to get people going, and people are on the move for the Lord. And it's exciting to see when we're looking at Facebook, social media, TikTok, Instagram. You're looking at all of this and you see people are continuously online, busy ministering, reaching out, getting to somebody, getting again active in the work of the Lord. And this is a great sight to behold. And I believe that God is getting the church ready and fired up. But we need to learn, as we look through the book of Haggai, we learn some very important insights through this particular book that Haggai tries to bring to our attention. And one finds it very interesting when reading through Haggai and coming to part 3 of this particular series. And what we're going to focus on today, we're going to focus on contamination. Our title today for today's sermon is Contamination. Contamination. I'm going to look, we're going to read from the book of Haggai chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 10. We're going to read to verse 19. But we're going to read from the Message Bible today. The Message Bible. Just for this particular topic, I find it very interesting, the translation. And so we're going to look into this and we're going to then break it down further. The Bible says, on the 24th day of the ninth month, again, this was in the second year of Darius, God's message came to Haggai. The God of angel armies speaks. Consult the priest for a ruling. If someone carries a piece of sacred meat in his pocket, meat that is set apart for sacrifice on the altar, and the pocket touches a loaf of bread, a dish of stew, or a bottle of wine, or any other food, will these foods be made holy by such contact? The priest said no. Then Haggai said, how about someone who is contaminated by touching a corpse? If that person touches one of these foods, will it be contaminated? The priest said, yes, it will be contaminated. Then Haggai said, so this people is contaminated. Their nation is contaminated. Everything they do is contaminated. Whatever they do for me is contaminated. God says so. Verse 15, think back before you set out to lay the first foundation stones for the building of my temple. How did it go with you? Isn't it true that your foot dragging, half-hearted efforts at rebuilding the temple of God were reflected in a sluggish, halfway return on your crops? Half the grain you were used to getting, half the wine? I hit you with drought and blight and hail. Everything you were doing got hit. But it didn't seem to faze you. You continue to ignore me, God's decree. Now think ahead. From this same day, this 24th day of the ninth month, think ahead. From when the temple rebuilding was launched, has anything in your fields, the vine, the fig, the pomegranate, the olive tree, failed to flourish? From now on, you can count on a blessing. Glory be to God. From now on, you can count on a blessing. Father, we pray that you bless your word. We pray, Father God, that you will enlighten us, Father God, that you will enlighten us and that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Fill my mouth with your word so that I can speak the oracles of the Lord. I pray, Father God, that my words will be sanctified and anointed. I pray, Father God, that you will bless the listeners and those, oh God, that have come, oh God, to be a part today of this exciting service. We pray, Father God, that your hand will be upon each and every single person, Father. We pray, oh God, that you will convict us, and Lord, that you will bring alignment, Father, into our lives in Jesus' mighty and majestic name. I believe that today, and even in the preparation period, God has been dealing with heart issues. Heart issues. Heart issues are important. And the Lord said today will be a day where God is going to do inner healing. And He's going to then also bring our hearts to a place where our hearts are purified and cleansed. Because when we do the work of the Lord, we need to have clean hearts. Clean hearts. And so let's look at what Haggai was speaking about. So our focus is mostly going to be on the verses 11 to 14. But we're going to conclude with verse 19, and we're going to look into that, and we're just going to ask the Lord to open up this portion of scripture to us. And I believe it's going to just going to bring so much enlightenment, freedom. And I believe also there's going to be like a lifting of a weight. When we come in sincerity and repentance before the Lord and receive this as a word from the Lord for our lives. Hallelujah. So Haggai was now busy driving a point home to the people. And the people were working on the temple, and he wanted them to understand that they could not impart any holiness to it, but they could defile it by their sins. Not only was it important that they do God's work, but it was also important that they do His work from hearts that were pure and that are devoted to God. The prophet reviewed the recent history during the years when they were selfish. They experienced discipline of the Lord. And we find this in chapter 1. The Jews weren't keeping the terms of the covenant then. So God couldn't bless them as He promised. The economy fell apart. When the grain was in the field, God smote it with mildew and hail. And after the grain had been harvested, the supply didn't last. Why God had done this to His people? To get them to turn back to Him with all of their hearts. With all of their hearts, God did this so that they could turn back with all of their hearts. But listen to what the Bible says in Haggai chapter 2, 17. God now reprimands the people through the prophet. He says, "Yet you did not turn to me." So even when people were going through all of these difficulties in life, yet we find that as people, we still become stubborn, we still rebellious, we still carry on doing the wrong thing, expecting different results. And Haggai is busy dealing with this right now, and Haggai is reprimanding the people. And they were so concerned to build. So these people didn't turn back to the Lord because they were so concerned to build their houses that they ignored the house of God. And yet the building of the temple was the task that God brought them out of Jerusalem. We kept reiterating that in our first two messages. Haggai was calling the people now to repentance. He was calling them to repentance, and He wanted them to come to repentance. And through this repentance, they were now assured of the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. I love this scripture. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Bible said, you know, when Solomon finished building the temple, it said, when you come to this place and you pray, when you come to this place and you pray, that's what the Bible said. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now, this specific portion of scripture also deals about turning from your sin, turning from your wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven, and then He will heal your land. We need to understand that sin is a hindrance. Sin is a hindrance. I don't know, somebody said this, he said this very powerful thing. He said, you know, true believers, when they confess their sins, I'm just paraphrasing the quote. When true believers confess their sins individually, But he said, when people that sometimes just come wholesale repentance, you know, they come with wholesale repentance. They just say, Father, forgive me of all my sins. But when we really come with a heart of genuine repentance, we will come with that heart that we will repent of specific sins that God is exposing in our lives. We will not generalize the sins, but we will now become specific, because in that specific things that we need to do, like, you know, unforgiveness against somebody, hatred, resentment against a husband, against a wife, whatever it is, we need to be specific in prayer when we repent of these specific sins, because these sins can be hindrances unto us, because these are the things that God wants to expose. And so when God came to these people, you know, God was being very specific about what he was dealing with. And so God wanted his people to come to him in repentance, in repentance. So God wants us to turn from our wicked ways. So had these people been devoted to the Lord when the foundation of the temple was laid, God's blessing would have followed them immediately. Can you see what happens when we follow God in the way that we should follow God? The blessings of God will not tarry. Now, right, faith and patience go together. Sometimes we pray for things, there's a waiting, there's times maybe we need to wait it out. But there are things that are urgent and I need right now. And when God brings us to a place where he exposes something in our lives, then God, I believe God wants to bring us to a place where he is getting ready to pour out a blessing upon us. And when we can align ourselves with God's ways and God's will, and the way we do things, then God will then pour his blessing upon us. Is somebody with me today? I want you to just catch this. We're going to break this down. I want to teach this because I believe that God is dealing with many of us in this season concerning doing the work of the Lord, but doing it with an impure heart or unclean hands. And God wants us to cleanse ourselves, get rid of everything that we have that is defiling us. Because when we are defiled, we defile the work of the Lord. Amen. So we need to do the things with a proper, sincere, and clean heart. So the Bible says those people had a sinful heart. And their sin grieved the Lord and defiled the work. So he says now, he says to them in verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? He asked this specific congregation or this people. And they would have had to answer no. It was late December and the man had just plowed the field for the winter crops. And Haggai was calling on them to trust God for the future harvest. But it was another example of Matthew 6:33 that says, put God's interests first and he will take care of the rest. He says then, from this day forth, I will bless you. We're looking into this. I'm just summarizing. And we're going to just look into how God is going to do this amazing work. I believe that after this particular message, and as we come to the place where God deals with sins and issues of our heart, that we will begin to see the hand of God just move in our lives mightily. Hallelujah. So we understand that it must always be to understand this, that sin hinders the work of God and robs us of the blessing of God. It was the sins of the people that brought about the destruction of the Jerusalem temple and the captivity of the nation. And their sins could hinder the rebuilding of the temple and the renewing of the Jewish nation in their own land. It was their sins. It was your sin. It was my sin that caused us to draw away from God. It was our sin that caused us to go in the wrong direction. It was our sin that caused us to do things that are not in line with God's will. And the sooner we are to repent, and that's what I love when the Bible says, and David was a man after God's own heart. What was the secret to David? David had a repentant heart. Lord, bring us back to the heart. Bring us back to the place of repentance. But you know, I realize that we as people, we pray this prayer. But the most important thing is that we need to change our actions. And we need more grace when it comes to that. Because immediately we need to change our action. We need to change our direction. There's no use repenting of something but not changing your direction or changing your way in which you are doing the thing that you are doing wrong that God is displeased with. Are you with me? And so we need to get into that place. We need to understand that. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 14 and verse 34, uprightness and right standing with God. This is the Amplified Translation. moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation elevates a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach. So uprightness and right standing with God elevates a nation. But sin is a reproach to any nation or people. And that is what God is speaking. He was speaking to Zerubbabel. He's speaking to Joshua the priest. And we need to understand that uprightness, when there's righteousness in the nation, a nation will be lifted up. But when there's sin, it will bring reproach. And so God is speaking, as we started off the series, we said that God was speaking to the civil leaders and to the spiritual leaders. He was speaking to the leadership of the nation, and he was speaking to the spiritual leadership. And I believe that in this particular context, God is bringing us all back to the place where we all need to come into realignment with God, and so that God can pour his blessing on our nation and on our churches. And I believe that is what God is instructing through this particular sermon or the series, is that we need to come back to the Lord and follow his ways. So Haggai now was beginning to ask the people, he asked the people to look back, and then he asked the people also to look within them, So he reminded them about what happened, and he's saying now you need to do introspection, self-examination. They've learned about God's glory, and they knew about God's holiness. Now we need to understand that they needed to now look into themselves. They need to understand what was contaminating them. What was the contamination? What was the thing that God was displeased with? And so as we continue just to look and emphasize on this book, it's so amazing that how God just opens this up to us. And God is speaking to us as a generation, and that we need to return unto the Lord with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And so we see that when Haggai asked the priest here some questions, we see he asked the questions and the priest has to respond. And so he uses the law of clean and unclean. And God points out the principles that applies even to us as believers today. That God is very simply saying to us that it is impossible for God's holiness in us because of our relationship with him and the indwelling Holy Spirit. I just want to say this again, that God says that it is impossible for God's holiness in us because our relationship with him and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to pass from us to the world. In other words, if a holy thing touches something that is unclean, the unclean item does not become holy. The unclean item does. Now we're gonna dig into this, because we need to understand that how people think and how people's mindsets are, you know. It's like going to a nightclub and then thinking because of your presence, the nightclub will become holy, or that you're doing things that is ungodly in nature, which we're going to deal with in this teaching today, and then thinking that those things are going to be made holy, getting into wrong relationships, and then thinking because of your holiness, you're going to affect their holiness, and they're going to change. I'm telling you, we have seen this, we've seen it many times, it has failed. People have gone through this, people have experienced this, and thought that they could make somebody holy, getting into a relationship that was not approved of God, and then they found themselves in a life of complete downcastness or misfortune, continuous misfortune, because we must be in alignment with the will of God. And so we need to understand that we need to have what God wants us to have and do what God wants us to do. Now let's look at how the worldly people think. Worldly people, so the attitude of the world is, if something comes in contact with God's people, hallelujah, from the world, it can pass from the world into us. So the world can have an influence on us. The world can have people, wrong environments, wrong relationships can have an influence on us. And that is important, what God is trying to say, that if we are connected to the wrong source or to the wrong people or to the wrong, that's what Jesus says, you know, in John 15, he says, you know, remain in the vine, because when you remain in the vine, there's life. But when you break away from the vine, then you will dry out and die. And so we need to understand that what we connected to in life is very, very important. What we give ourselves to, the Bible says, you know, the Bible says, whatsoever man sows, he shall reap. And the Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, you shall reap of the flesh corruption. So when we sow fleshly things, we will then also then reap fleshly things. So the connection with the flesh and the spirit, and we, and I guess trying to bring something, you know, to our understanding. That sometimes I've seen it as we as people, and I use it as holistically as all of us, because sometimes we don't realize that when we get in contact with certain things and people, that it is, that it affects our destiny, it affects our walk with the Lord. You find people that are on fire for Jesus, but just because they get into the wrong connection or wrong people, they then become lukewarm people. They become lukewarm Christians. You find people that carries a vision and God has something big in store for them, but because they're connected to the wrong people, they cannot excel, they cannot go, because it's like what do you call this? It's like putting a wet blanket over a fire, you know, and that is what we find with the wrong relationships, wrong people, wrong things, and the worldly things is always like an extinguisher to what God, to the fire of God. Can I say that again? The worldly things are always like an extinguisher to the things that to the fire of God in our lives. So we need to understand. So we're looking at this. So when the worldly things comes in contact with the Christian can become contaminated. The Christian can become contaminated. The world will contaminate us. Worldliness will contaminate us if we are not on guard. I've heard people say, you know, I'm gonna connect with this people, I'm gonna have relationships with this people, or I'm gonna be in this, you know. But we've been, as ministers, we do counseling many a times, and we spend time with people. And throughout my church life, I've seen it many a times also, and I've experienced it in my times where back in my days when I was a youth, in my early years of serving the Lord, there were times when I thought that, you know, if I can be with my friends, my worldly friends, I'm talking about worldly friends, I thought to myself, then they will then change. So what happened was, not that I needed to cut them off completely, because maybe I need to minister to them, right? And I believe that we must minister to the world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. But we are always going to be in contact with the worldly people. We're always going to be in contact with people that we need to minister to, empower, lift up and build up. That is what we are in this world. But then I found myself with these people, connected with them, and then what happened was, the devil was sly and cunning. So I would get myself into this relationship with these people, and then I would find myself drifting from God. So I started spending more time with them and less time with the fire igniters, which was the church people. So I spent time with the people that you know, the cunningness of the enemy is that you think that you are helping people, and more you are being drawn into their world. You are more being drawn into their world of negativity, their world that is limited, their world that is filled with sin, their world that is filled with maybe gossiping and whatever it is. So you get drawn into their world. And sooner or later, I found myself in a backslidden state, because I thought that I would, the more I spend time with them, the more I can influence them. But what I didn't realize is, the more I was in the negative, the more I became negative. And people don't see that. People don't understand that, because the devil wants to keep us blind. The devil wants to keep us blind and foolish. And we don't understand that God is here speaking to the children of Israel and saying, be careful of contamination. Be careful of contamination. We need to be alert and aware of what God is doing. We need to understand what God is doing in this season. We need to get that. We need to get that. We need to be careful that we don't become infected by the world. We need to be careful that the world does not contaminate us. We need to be careful that the Bible even says, you know, the Bible says, cast out the scorner. Cast out the scorner. Because when the scorner is in the inner circle, for example, or in the church, the scorner can rub off, or can the scorner can bring division. And I sometimes understand why it is that some people or some pastors don't want some people to connect with other people, even though they're in the ministry, because some people can be bad blood. Some people can be bad blood. Some people can transfer some maybe anger maybe disunity, maybe division. And so it's very important that we do not get contaminated. We need to be careful, because sometimes, you know, you find people that are pure, man. I've seen this many a times. You find innocent people, pure, holy, wants to serve God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then they just get involved or come in contact with the wrong person. And then suddenly this person goes off track. Then suddenly this person, they had a love for the pastor. They had a love for the man of God. They had a love for the ministry. And then suddenly just come in contact with the wrong person. And suddenly they now have a different outlook or different point of view of the minister and of the church. Be careful of contamination. Say to somebody, be careful of contamination. Glory be to God. So what now is spiritual contamination? What is spiritual contamination? Spiritual contamination is anything that would cause a person to become spiritually unclean. Spiritual contamination is anything that will cause a person to become unclean. There are people, friends, family, associates that can cause spiritual contamination. We need to remember that. There are friends, family, and associates that can cause spiritual contamination. Your spirit needs to be fed by the right in the right environment, and it also gets fed by the right people, like faith. When you walk with the right people that carry faith, that's why I'm looking to connect with people that are shakers, because I want that spirit to rub off on me. I want that spirit to rub off on me. People that have achieved, that is successful, that is moving for Jesus. That are the people that I want in my inner circle, because those are the people I want the things to rub off on me, because that is the spirit I want to walk around with. That is the spirit. That's why the Bible says David killed Goliath. Then the Bible says later in the book of Chronicles that David's mighty men also killed the four brothers of Goliath. There was something that rubbed off. There was something that rubbed off. That warrior spirit of David. Because the Bible says when David met these men were discontent. These men were indebted. But when the Bible speaks about them later on, the Bible says, and these men became mighty men. Mighty men. David had about 32. I don't know. He had many, many mighty men. Look at the transition. The transition was these guys walked with a warrior. They walked with a man filled up with God, fearless surely in the eyes of the enemy. And this rubbed off on these people. And these people now became warriors in the kingdom of God. It's very important who you associate. It's very important who your friends are. It's very important who those are in your inner circle, because your transference of whatever you're doing, or whatever the topic is, whatever you're continuously speaking about, can contaminate you or can build you up, can give you a fire and a zeal for life, or can be a wet blanket on your fire. And so you need to understand there are things and people in life that you need to have not be your associates or close friends or inner circle, because they can affect what God wants to do in your life. Therefore, get around an environment where people now are not going to contaminate you, where people are going to be like a purification, like a purifying system in your life. Come on, somebody, we need to understand purification. We need to come into purification. So we need to be careful of music. Music is also one of the things. What we listen to, our ear gate, can also affect us, contaminate us. We see our young people are contaminated in their spirit and in their minds because of what they listen to, those earphones they sleep with. We find that the television can also be something that can contaminate our spirit spiritually. Contamination through the television, the eye gate. We find that the internet and environments that can cause spiritual contamination. I've said it. You can't be in the wrong environment. You will not grow. You will not succeed. Therefore, whatever you pursue in life, you need to find like-minded people. You need to find people that's walking on that same journey. People that's following that same goal. People that is following that same desire. Therefore, I want to get around apostles. I want to get around people that are church planters. People that are shakers. I want to get around people that are building good families. I want to get around people that are successful. that are succeeding in their faith, because I want that to rub off on me, because I don't want to walk in my own understanding. I don't want to walk with my own foolish mindset, thinking that I can continuously be in the wrong environment and grow the right fruit. We need to understand that where God wants you to be, you need to be in an environment that is conducive to what you are to produce, because what God wants to do in your life and through your life, you need to find yourself in that environment. You need to find yourself. Now we find that even the time the Bible says when the 12 spies came back from the promised land, the Bible says that the 10 spies contaminated the people's faith. The people had faith in God. They were ready to go and possess the land after a few weeks going from Egypt to the promised land. But the Bible says there came a contamination in the camp. There came a contamination from the 10 people. The people gave their ears to the 10. They did not give their ears to the minority. They gave their ears to the majority. And they were listening to the foolish 10 people. And the Bible says because of this, 38 years they were set back because of this wrong connection, because of the wrong people, because of the wrong voices. You will find yourself going into a setback and not moving forward. You find yourself going backwards and not forward because of what you are giving your ears to on a daily basis and who you are communicating to and what your life is based upon. And therefore, we need to get around those people that build our faith, build our marriages, build us in the area of finances, build us in our raising our kids, build us in the kingdom of God, and then we will move forward and not backwards. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The Bible says bad companions ruin good character. Bad companions ruin good character. Until you got involved with certain people, you lost the very good qualities that you had. So the people that you get in contact with and the environments that you find yourself in can make what you have become contaminated, and now that which you carry cannot come out as pure, cannot come out as holy, cannot come and produce the manifestation that God intended for it. Some of us need to understand there is a manifestation. There is, God wants to bless us. God wants to do good to us. God wants us to walk in His ways. Therefore, the Bible even says, blessed, 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 happy, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate day and night. And then the David goes further and says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth its fruit in its season. And then the Bible goes further. The next portion or the next half of that chapter or that first psalm says, but the way of the wicked is not like this. The way of the wicked is not like this. Therefore, I'm telling you, we need to get out of spiritual places of spiritual contamination. What is contaminating your life? What is contaminating your life? Another thing that can contaminate our lives is accursed items or accursed things in our homes. We find things like pornography, pictures we shouldn't be looking at. We find occultic books and we find religious symbolism that is ungodly and unclean. Maybe you came to Christ, but you're still celebrating another religion, carrying idols in your home, carrying things that are unclean, impure. We find this accursed things in the book of Joshua, where the Bible speaks about where Joshua went into the where they were just crossed the Jordan, and now they defeated Jericho. God said to them, listen, when you go over to Jericho, do not take anything out of Jericho. This was the first fruits unto the Lord. The first battle was the first fruits unto the Lord. And the Lord says, do not take anything out of Jericho. Do not take anything. You leave everything in Jericho. Do not take anything out of Jericho. And the Bible says that because of this now, something captivated, covetousness captivated the heart of Achan. And Achan took a garment and they hid the garment. They hid the garment in the tent. And the Bible says, now Joshua then went into battle again, and Joshua them lost the following battle. They lost the following battle. And then God said to Joshua, Joshua came moaning to God and saying, God, how could you do this? And God said to Joshua, listen, Joshua, get up. God is saying to somebody, you are moaning to me, get up. Get up, pay attention, listen to my voice, listen to my reprimand, listen to my rebuke. Listen, how long do you want me to chastise you? How long do you want to walk in defeat? How long do you want the enemy to continuously have victory over you when I've given you the victory? Because praise be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says to Joshua, get up. He said to the people in Israel that time when they came into the promised land with Haggai, he must have said to them, sharp rebuke, you know. You need to look at what you are doing. Consider your ways. Think it over. So here Haggai was now speaking to them. And I believe God is speaking to the church and he's speaking to individuals. You are moaning and you are groaning. And God is saying, get up from there. Stop lying there and stop sitting there and moaning about your situation. What about if you just repent and turn unto me and see what I will do for you? What if you just follow my way and not your way? What if you stop being stubborn and stop refusing the path of correction and walking in the path of rebellion because you are wise in your own eyes? And I believe that's what God has been speaking to us as the church, is that we need to get into a place where we need to see what God wants us to see. And then the Bible says, after this, they cleansed out the tent. They cleansed the tent of contamination. There was a garment that was found at the house of Achan, buried under the tent. They got the tent. They found the people. They found the culprits. They killed the culprits because God said, stone them. The culprits died. There are things in our lives that needs to die before we can continue. There are people in our lives that needs to die in a sense, not physical death, but that relationship needs to die. That thing needs to die. That separation needs to come. Only when those things come will there be forward movement. And the Bible says when Joshua then dealt with this event, the Lord then spoke to Joshua, giving him an instruction again, giving him something to do, told him this is the way, this is the battle plan we're going to go, this is what you're going to do. And the next thing we know, I was defeated. Your victory lies in you getting up, coming to your senses, listening to the voice of God, and obeying God in what he instructs you to do, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody needs to say amen. Somebody needs to say amen. And we see this great victory that they had. They had a great, great victory over that particular people when they got rid of the accursed thing in the camp. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. Charles Spurgeon says, the source from which these rivers of pollution proceed is the natural heart of man. Sin is not a splash of mud upon a man's exterior. It is a filth generated within himself. And when I understand, sin is within, sin is within, sin is within, sin is within. We need to deal with thoughts. We need to deal with internal things. And we're going to break it down as we're coming to the, basically to the close right now. We're going to break it down and bring it to what we're facing today in our generation. Many of us spend a great deal of time judging other people. We spend time judging people in a matter of minutes. We judge them by these things. We judge them by appearance. We judge them by smile. We judge them by handshake. We judge them by body language. We judge them by timeliness. And we judge people by mannerism. By mannerism. But God in his wisdom, and Jesus comes onto the scene in the Gospels, and Jesus is busy dealing with the Jewish people now, and Jesus is breaking this down because he's dealing with the religion of the day. He's dealing with the religious people of the day and of the hour, and he's dealing with these people and saying, you know what, you are so consumed with the outer things. In Mark chapter 7, from verse 1, we see it up until verse 23. They were speaking about certain religious laws that they needed to obey, washing of the cups, the washing of the hands, because they had all these man-made traditions added to the law. And they wanted this to be done, and they believed that if it wasn't done like this, you were unclean, you were impure. But Jesus says that is not contamination. Contamination comes from within, not from without. And Jesus was breaking this thing down further in Matthew 15, 10 to 20 also, where he begins to speak about this. But as we go back to Matthew, Mark chapter 7, 20 to 23, the Bible says, after Jesus now rebuked these people for wanting external things, they were more worried about external cleansing but not internal work of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says in the book of Colossians. He says, you know, this circumcision is not outward. This circumcision is inward. When I was busy preparing this, I said, Lord, circumcise my heart. There are mannerisms, there are attitudes that I know it is not pleasurable unto you. I need your grace. I need your mercy, Father, so that I would overcome certain mannerisms, certain attitudes, certain thought patterns, because I want it to be crucified and brought to death. And when we look at this, we understand that Jesus now says to them in the book of Mark 7, 20 to 23, listen, he says, and then he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles a person. From within or out of a person's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things come from within. They defile a person. They defile a person. And that is what we're looking at today. It's what is within. What is within? Today my prayer is, Lord, do a spiritual circumcision on me today. Lord, spiritually circumcise my heart. Get rid of all of these things that are blessing blockers. I hear that the Lord is saying he needs to get rid of the blessing blocker. The blessing blockers are the things that is in our hearts. I hear that. The Lord is saying, get rid of all blessing blockers from within. We need to look at this. So all of these things are within. Anything, any action came from what was in our heart. Whatever we live out is what we have been developing or building up in our heart. The outward action is just the outward manifestation is what was happening on the inside. If I could just say it plain and simple, you know, the outward manifestation is what we're carrying in our heart. David Guzik said this. This scripture is a powerful reminder that what God first wants from us is our heart. So Jesus is saying, listen, I want your heart. Some of you are good in service, but yet your heart. That's why Jesus even said once, he said, you know, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. That's what he said. You worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. We can only really be changed before God from the inside out. Many of us are working outside in, but God is saying from the inside out. We are doing all religious duties, but yet our hearts are not purified. And we find this in religion. Religion always works from the outside in, but the relationship with God always works from the inside out. The relationship, salvation, the born again experience is something that the Bible says that he had begun a good work with, where God's workmanship, right? He that begat a good work within us, in the book of Philippians 1:6, he shall continue it, right? But the Bible also then says we are God's workmanship and we are created for good works. So Paul now speaks here in the book of Ephesians, and he speaks about our transition from wickedness into sainthood. I'm just paraphrasing that, right? And he explains to us now that how we have now been recreated to do good works. It can only come from a heart that is transformed. From a heart that is transformed. So he says, we can only really be changed before God from the inside out. If the life and the power and the work of God isn't real in our heart, then it isn't real at all. My God, that is powerful. I want to say this again. This scripture is a powerful reminder that what God first wants from us is our heart. We can really be changed before God from the inside out. If the life and the power and the work of God isn't real in the heart, then it isn't real at all. Jesus, help us in Jesus' name. We need to understand that, saints and children of God, what contaminates us as the people of God? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Listen to verse 17. Verse 17 says, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let's define contamination. Contamination is an action or state of making or being made impure by polluting or poisoning. By polluting or poisoning. Therefore, sometimes when the water is contaminated, the people will then send a message out. The government will send a message out and say, do not drink the water. The water is contaminated. Because when the water is contaminated, there is germs in the water, things in the water that can affect our bodies. And so when you take the risk of drinking this water, you are at risk of affecting your own health. And so that is important. We need to understand that what contamination is an action or state of making or being made impure by polluting or poisoning. When a man is unclean, polluted, desecrated, then he is contaminated. He's not more the original man God has created him to be. So he's no more that person. Amen. So filthy things has now come into his spirit, and we understand that when we expose ourselves to these contaminated things. Now as a believer, we are victorious. The Bible says, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ has armed all principalities and powers, triumphing over them which is at the cross. So he won the victory. Praise be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are truths. These are truths. But as children of God, when we come into contamination, we then affect, number one, our fellowship with the Lord. And this now has a spiral effect, if I could use that terminology. It has an effect on our lives. Because if we are not in right relationship or right fellowship with the Lord, we cannot then walk right, because we are not being led by God. And so contamination is something that when we get spiritually contaminated, it dulls our spiritual senses and it dulls how we walk and what we do for Jesus. Hallelujah. Is somebody with me? Glory be to God. So there are some things that contaminates a man. And we understand that if we put all this together into one thing, it means sin. Sin contaminates us. Now the Bible refers to this also works of the flesh in the book of Galatians, but these are also sins that contaminates the man. It's immorality, which is sexual sins, sex before marriage, adultery, all of these sins, homosexuality, these are immorality, anger, alcoholism, smoking, bitterness, unforgiveness, anxiety, evil thoughts, care for worldly things, theft, murder, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, and the last one is very powerful, ignorance. And all of this comes from the mind. Every other vow comes from the mind. We need to understand, our child of God, we need to overcome this. We need to overcome this. And I believe this was the message of Haggai, was trying to get the people back to God, trying to get the people to see their sin and to repent of their sin. To repent of their sin, coming back to the Lord. Therefore, Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So Paul had just now finished telling the people in the earlier part of the chapters, chapter 6 and 5, that Paul had just said, you know, that telling the people about the amazing promises of God. And these were believers now that were saved then. So they understood what Paul was trying to bring across. And that God will be their God if they turn from their wicked ways and serve him. So when these promises was made to these people, God said to them, you know, I want you to purify yourselves from everything that contaminates your body and spirit. When you carry an infection on your body, it can affect your whole body. It can basically, there are certain things like maybe gangrene. When you have gangrene, they will then cut your leg off or they will amputate something so that it doesn't affect your whole body, because it can contaminate your body or your leg, and they're gonna have to amputate everything. So they get rid of the things that the infected areas, so it does not get affect your whole body. And that is what we as believers need to do. We need to get rid of the areas of sin that can contaminate and affect our lives, so that we can be holy vessels unto the Lord. For the Bible says, be holy as I am holy. So as believers, we must purify ourselves continuously. We must continuously live in a life of repentance and come before God and ask God, you know, those things in our lives that's contaminated, the things that we found ourselves, let's repent of it and get clean with God. Let's come clean. Let's get clean from those things that want to affect our spirits. Hallelujah. We need to confess the sins. We need to confess all those things that influenced us, all those worldly sins, all those things that is coming into our lives that we need to be careful. We need to be careful because, you know, the Bible says in the last days, people will call good evil and evil good because people have been contaminated. People have been contaminated. We need to be very careful. We need to come in righteousness and holiness before the Lord. We need to walk upright. We need to walk. If we need to walk in forgiveness, we need to forgive. If we need to do things that we need to do as God wants it to be done, we need to get it the way God wants it to be done. We need to get rid of sin in our spirit. Amen. We need to get rid of sin in our lives. We need to ask God to continuously cleanse us. Get these things out. Get all of these things out. And when we repent, we understand according to 1 John 1:9 that Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin, to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, we have an advocate before the Father. So when we come to God in repentance, God will forgive us and He will remember that sin no more. It will no longer be held against us. It will no longer be against us because He has forgiven us. So whatever we have come, whatever the Holy Spirit convicts us of, we need to cleanse ourselves from that, those things that contaminate us. We need to believe God that we need to bless God in everything that we do. We need to be careful. We need to trust God in everything that we do in our lives. We need to be focused. We need to look unto the Lord. We need to pray unto the Lord. And we need to ask God, God, we need to get rid of those things that contaminate our body, our soul, and our spirit. And we need to get our focus back on the holy things. We need to get our focus back on the Word, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He has called us to do. We should honor God in our body and in our spirits. We read Psalms 51. We see how David wanted to get right with God and how David cried out to the Lord and David confessed his sin. Confessed his sin. In Psalms 51 verses 7, in verse 10 also David says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. It should be our daily prayer. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. In verse 7 David says, purify, 51 verse 7, purify my conscience. Make the leper clean again. Wash me in your love until I am pure in heart. That is the cry of David. Woo! Powerful. Powerful. That is amazing. It is so powerful. Cleanse us, Lord. Wash us, Father. Purify us, Father. We need to walk upright and we need to walk in right standing. You know, to keep ourselves pure, we also need to be careful that we follow the right people. I was using it earlier when we spoke about relationships, which we need to be careful that we follow the right people because the right people will lead us to the right places and also make us walk. We need to walk with people that challenges us. Sometimes we want to break away from the people that's going to challenge our faith and how we walk before the Lord, because sometimes I think we become too comfortable in walking in sin and walking in the wrong way that we're not careful of what we do. You know, Paul says it very powerful in Philippians, and I want to encourage people as we come to the end of this message today. I want to encourage you today. We need to be in this world very, very careful of the people that we surround ourselves with, as we said early on. But we also need to be careful of who we follow and who we give our ears to when it comes to even the gospel, the message of the gospel, because sometimes we can follow the wrong preacher. We can follow the wrong man of God or the wrong woman of God. And we have to bring this out here because it's one of the things that contaminates the faith of people, because people get into wrong circles, wrong teachings, wrong environments, and then they start believing the wrong things. And it affects their lives and their spiritual walk with God and their faith in God. And so that is what we need to be careful. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says in the book of Philippians 3:17-19, join with others in following my examples, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as this is a very, very stern warning for the end time, for as I've often told you before and now say it again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. The God is their stomach and the glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Many live as enemy of the cross. So we need to be careful of those type of people. We need to follow the right people because also what we give ourselves to can contaminate our spirit. as we conclude and as we come to the close of this today, Lord, free us from contamination. Lord, sanctify our spirits. Lord, purify our hearts. Lord, purify us from everything that will hinder your work in our lives, the work of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse us from every blessing blocker. Cleanse us from anything, oh God, that is toxic to our walk with you, Father. We need to ask God today for spiritual cleansing. We need to ask God to cleanse us from all toxins that's going to affect our destiny. We need to ask God to help us to fulfill his assignment for our lives. Hallelujah. How can you deal with spiritual contamination? The first thing you need to come to realization is humble yourself. Confess your known sins. Confess that you are contaminated. Confess, accept the fact that you have been contaminated. Repent now and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Then confess your sins and ask God for forgiveness and mercy. Cleanse yourself by pleading the blood and washing yourself and asking Jesus to wash you with the precious blood. Purify yourself from every person, thing that contaminates your body or spirit. Now you have to walk in spiritual disciplines. Avoid all wrong talking. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before. Make a straight path now for your feet and stay on the path that the Lord has set out for you. And let the Holy Spirit now be your guide. You always to guide you in every area of your life. Let us get the Holy Spirit's stamp of approval upon everything we do, upon relationships, upon people, upon whatever we do. Let's be careful, because toxic environments can make people toxic. Toxic environments, we've seen with COVID-19, when people were out there in the world, in the past 2 years that has just passed us, people were told to wear masks because they believed that this disease could be transferred onto people and could affect their health. Many people experience that, like a flu. When you come into an environment where people has the flu or has a contagious disease, that disease can affect your life. So you also need to be careful of what you surround yourself with. Come on, child of God. You carry the vision of God. You carry the heart of God. You carry the plan of God. You carry the purpose of God. You need to walk with what God wants you to walk and who God wants you to walk with. You need to have those in close relationship that God has ordained for your life. You need to find what God has orchestrated for you, what God has planned for you. There are things that God wants in your life, and there are things God wants out of your life. Realign yourself with the Lord. I love what the Bible says in verse 19. God says to the people, you can mark this day on your calendar. He says, mark this day on your calendar. He says, from this day, I will bless you. That brought such a joy. He says, from this day, I will bless you. When you turn unto me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, he says, from this day, I will bless you. Woo! The word blessing in this particular portion of scripture, it means to endure with power for success. Oh, somebody, you are moving into success. I prophesy. You are moving into great, great success. Great prosperity. Speaks about longevity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In essence, what this word is saying, the one who is blessed is given a rich and abundant life. Oh, God, I'm getting ready for what God has in store for me. Everything in your life is turning around from the moment you confess, from the moment you come clean with God, from the moment you come into right standing with God, from the moment you align yourself with the Lord. This day I declare you will be blessed. This day you will walk with overflow. This day you will experience the blessing of the Lord. This day you will experience the increase. This day you will experience the multiplication. We are moving into the next month of November 2022. It's the month of favor and heard of. Realign yourself. Get into will with God. Get into alignment with God and watch your life change. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we're looking forward to the fourth part as we conclude this series. Hallelujah. Get ready for what God is about to do. I want you today, if you want to, I believe that this is a general prayer. We're all going to come before the Lord and we're going to confess our sins. Let's repent today. Say, Father, I come before your throne room of grace. Father, cleanse me from every known sin. Now this is your time to repent of every known sin in your heart. Repent of unforgiveness. Repent of bitterness. Repent of resentment. Repent of anger. Repent of whatever it is that could be a hindrance. Whatever it is. Come on, let's repent. Let's repent. Come on, this week I've been asking God to forgive me. I've been, you know, things has been coming up, things has been making me uncomfortable, but I had to come clean, and I'm still coming clean. I'm not yet clean, I'm still coming clean. Come on, repent. This is just, take 10 seconds, repent of anything, with anything that could be a blessing blocker, anything that could be a hindrance of fellowship with the Lord, that could make you not hear the voice of God. Come on, repent of those sins. I feel the power of God falling. I sense the anointing of God is breaking yokes, lifting burdens, sicknesses and diseases are fleeing, bodies are being healed, families are being restored, people's prosperity is coming unto them, situations and circumstances are being turned around, because the Lord says, from this day I will bless you. As you now come in repentance before the Lord, I sense the anointing is breaking yokes, lifting burdens, changing directions, causing people to find themselves in the greatest breakthroughs of their lives. Your story is about to be written. The glory of God is on your life. God is about to bring into a place where God is about to cause you to be, as he said to Zechariah, or he said to Zerubbabel, you shall be unto me my signet ring. As we're going to go into the next part of this message, God is lifting you up. You are a person that carries the favor and the anointing of the Lord from this day. Oh, 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 I love that. From this day, Ramando Samamamahande, from this day, somebody say, from this day. Oh, I love this. From this day, mark it in your calendar. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will endure you with success, prosperity, longevity, because the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. Glory! Oh, I feel the grace of God. I feel things changing in my life. I see atmospheres changing. I see things shifting. I see things being prepared just for you. The table of the Lord is prepared. The Lord has opened up the buffet. Come and step in right now. Come and enjoy the blessings of God. Come and take what is yours. Come and receive it right now. Even right now, there's miracles taking place. Even as I speak, phones will be beeping. People will experience opportunities. Doors are opening. People are walking into miraculous things right now. Even as I prophesy and I declare today, the Lord is doing it. The Lord is shaping. The Lord is molding. Get ready. The blessings are falling. You are in alignment. The rain is falling right on you. Come to the Mount of Blessing, for God is with you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Woo! I sense the glory. I prophesy today. Alignment is coming. The grace of God is coming. The grace of God to lift you up, to empower you, is coming. Your power, your story is changing. Your glory is changing. Your situation is changing right now. God is moving. God is transferring. There's transference of blessings taking place. Even right now, you will look back and you'll remember that this day, this month of October, God changed your life in 2022 for forever. Glory be to God. From this day I will bless KR Ministries. From this day I will bless my servants Ashwin and Michelle Lewis. From this day I will bless every one of the leadership. From this day I will bless the membership. From this day I will bless you. I will bless you. Ramoshta Kanalabosai. I prophesy from this day, somebody get ready and declare, from this day, God is moving. My God, I see the hand of deliverance. I see the hand of healing. From this day. Shabre Katoza Mamande Debosai. Somebody get ready. God is moving over your life. God is touching you. Those that are listening to this via podcast, God is touching you. Things are shifting. Things are changing. God is transforming. God is bringing you into alignment. God is bringing you into change. Things are shifting over your life. Things are changing. Oh, I sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I sense the anointing of the Spirit of God. I can see testimonies. I can see people's lives being changed. I can see healing coming to lands. My God, there where it has been unfruitful, God is blessing lands so that lands can bring forth abundance, a harvest. My God, oh, I thank you, Jesus. Receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Receive the power of God. Receive the presence of God. May it come upon you right now. May your life be changed. From this day is going to be a good day. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you have repented of your sins and you have come before God and you have come clean, mark this day in your calendar. From this day. In Jesus' mighty and majestic name. God bless you. Love one another. And let us go out there and do the work of the Lord with clean hands and pure hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.